had a request to give a talk on the mustard seed, so that's what it is tonight. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, you'll know all these gospel verses that we look at pretty well, and parables, some of them only a verse or two verses long. But in Luke chapter 13, verse 18, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." And that's all we've got there. Okay, so doesn't say here that it's the smallest of all the seeds or whatever. It just says it's a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast in the garden, and it becomes this tree. Now, the question was really, what sort of tree is it and what sort of seed is it? But with going into the reference books and trying to find that out, everyone seems pretty much as mystified as I am. And it said they're not exactly sure, but they think a plant that grew along roadsides and in fields, reaching a height of about 4.6 metres, in other words, 15 feet. The black mustard of Palestine seems to be the species to which Jesus referred. It was cultivated for its seeds, which were used as a condiment and for oil. What's a condiment? Glenys?
Something that seasons food,
so you mash it up and make a paste or a sauce or something like mustard that we're used to, hey?
Pepper is a condiment.
Okay. So it was used to make food more interesting. And it also says in the Bible dictionary, the mustard seed was the smallest seed known in Jesus' day. So I think that's the significance of why Jesus chose it. Because, I mean, he could have talked about cedar trees, for example, which, you know, are mighty trees, but they weren't in his area, were they? They were more in Lebanon and so on. It's on the Lebanon flag. You know, but we certainly couldn't say that the mustard tree at 15 feet or 4.6 metres was the greatest of all the trees. But I think, you know, what we could say is that this seed, which Jesus does mention elsewhere, and we'll look at them, is the smallest of all the seeds, is the point that he really wanted to make. And that of the other, well, we'll get to the other verses in a minute, so I won't put words into his mouth here. We'll read them straight from his mouth in a moment. But it's the point being that he took a seed and it grew into a tree, and fowls of the air came and lodged in the branches. So the point he's making is that this thing was small, then it grows to be great, and it provides shelter for other creatures. So he says, I'm resembling it here in verse 18. What, whereunto shall I resemble it? It's just a resemblance. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So, a little bit of background. We've just found out that that this mustard plant grows wild in fields and so on, along roadsides. It's about 4.6 metres. It's called black mustard. Was cultivated for seed, so it was farmed as well. And it was known. So, of course, Jesus uses examples that are known to people. He talks about, you know, fruits and agriculture and sheep and all sorts of things that people will understand, labouring. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And I'm going to read on in a moment, but just that part, he's saying, you know, we read a simple two-verse parable just now, but here's another one, just saying, it's like the seed going in the ground, this time not a tree or a mustard seed, but bringing forth some kind of grain, corn, which brings up an ear of fruit and can be harvested. And I remember very early in my walk, probably be about 6 weeks in, I was reading the Bible and I read this and I thought, That's how I feel even after 6 weeks, that, you know, this Holy Spirit went in and I just go to sleep. It says in verse 27, he sleeps and rise night and day. In other words, you just go through your day, you go to bed, you get up, you read your Bible, you do your work, all the rest of it. And you just seem to grow in the Lord, don't you? Without any sort of great effort, but it says that we grow line upon line here and there a bit, and because we pray every day and we read a bit, you know, every day if we can, it's all just going in and it's happening by itself. And Jesus makes this comparison and said, it's just like you're throwing seed into the ground and you just leave it there and it starts to do things all by itself. And that's really what the Holy Spirit does in us. You don't have to sort of... Yes, you have to cultivate it and water it a bit, but, you know, really it grows by itself because the Lord's put it in there, and as long as you're walking with him, it's just going to keep growing. And I just thought that was fantastic, and I mentioned that to someone, and they said, you've been reading your Bible, haven't you? Which probably warmed the cockles of their heart, new person coming along and reading their Bible. But, yeah, it was one of the early revelations. But if we go on, so he just makes that simple comparison. It's like throwing seed into the ground and it brings forth fruit without you really doing much. You go to sleep and wake up and it happens almost separately. But in verse 30, he says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. So he used lots of little examples like this one to explain things to them. And in another place he says, you're not going to actually understand it now, but later on the Spirit will bring all these things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And... He makes the point that this mustard seed is the least in size, and as the Bible dictionary said, the smallest seed known in Jesus' day. But when it grows, it becomes greater than all herbs. Now, I'm sure that means comparable herbs that you might use, you know, at the table or in cooking or so on. Obviously not as big as, you know, the mighty oak or the mighty cedar, but amongst the herb... What do we call it? Genus? Species? You know? Who knows? Anyway, the botanists can wrangle that one out. The grows up to be bigger than all of them and shoots out these great branches. So, I mean, 4.6 metres is quite high for something that bears these little seeds. And if you've seen them, your whole grain mustard, they're quite small. Mel got these key rings sent to her. It's got little... It's got a sort of medallion, you put a key ring, you attach your keys to it, and right in the middle is this tiny little seed, which is a mustard seed. So it's got a scripture around it, probably one of these, and this seed. But when you look at it, I think, well, that's not the smallest seed I've seen. I've got hold of some salt gum seeds, and they are just tiny, like even smaller than grains of salt. They're just absolutely tiny little black dots. And it's amazing to think that all the DNA required to make that great big salt gum is in that tiny little black speck. And it goes in the ground and eventually turns into that mighty tree. But that's the thing about seeds, isn't it? They're just amazing little factories of potential growth. So the point Jesus is making here, what is it? We start small, but we've got everything we need with the Holy Spirit. For potential growth for the future. So whatever, and it's by putting the Holy Spirit in. And when you're a babe in Christ, you don't know much, do you? First day, you know you've had an experience, but you don't know much else. But as you go on, you know, you become, like it talks in Jeremiah about mighty trees that are by the riverside, that the leaves won't wither when the heat comes, that your roots are down in the waters and so on. It talks about being pillars in the church in another place, and, you know, almost like these mighty trees that are supporting the work, because, you know, it's been around for a while and able to sort of help those other little seeds get going and so on. So there's that aspect of our growth, but perhaps also the church itself, that it started with this tiny, tiny beginning, you know, 120 people. It's not many people, is it, to start off something that now is around all corners of the globe. And this, of course, is only in the intervening period before the millennium. And we know that, you know, the vision in Daniel that the kingdom would fill the whole earth, the mountain, the stone mountain would fill the whole earth, and that's the Lord's kingdom. And, you know, this tree, if the church is a tree in this case, eventually will be this mighty big thing that supports everybody. So there's probably a few different levels going on here. Okay, Matthew chapter 13 and then 17. So we'll go to 13 first. Really just the same that we've just read. Verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So again, why mustard seed? He chose it because it was the smallest seed known in his day. And he wanted to make a point. The things of God start with small beginnings, but they become big and mighty things. And we've certainly seen that on a personal level and, you know, in a fellowship level and various applications and so on. When we see the Lord sort of take charge of something, it sort of becomes a bit like a steam train, and it's just as off, it's off and running. PNG, good example. You know, start from one healing, one man, one healing, one bit of faith, tiny bit of seed, you know, like a mustard seed. Pastor Godfrey praying for his mother, healed. The whole village sort of thought that was amazing, so they came and got baptized. And from that, now we have 100,000 people following the Lord there. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, Jesus and his disciples, that is, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, in other words, the smallest of all seeds, if you have the smallest amount of faith, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And a famous verse, of course, that having the faith like a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. And of course, there's all sorts of different levels, as there always are, with the Lord about this thing. But we can take it at face value that you can just do impossible things by exercising faith. And that's the message Jesus was just putting across over and over again. And of course, Paul's reinforcing it, and he's saying, you know, we're saved by faith, by the grace of God, and not by works, lest any man should boast. And you've really got to cultivate this faith thing. You know, I've given you faith when I give you the Holy Spirit. It came as a gift, and it also becomes a fruit that grows in you. And you really have got to concentrate on that and not on other things. We could go to Daniel 4, but I think we kind of, it's a bit unnecessary. It's about the dream of the mighty tree, but just showing that Nebuchadnezzar there, you know, just the type that the tree is. It can be a nation and it can be power and so on. And of course, but he is humbled, and in the vision the tree is hewn down, and he's supposed to learn a lesson about humility from that, but instead he goes off and he exalts himself, and he has to go out and eat grass for a year or so, and be humbled. So we won't go there, but let's go to Acts chapter 16. Paul on his second journey with Silas, and Barnabas has gone off with Mark in another direction, and they're heading up through Lystra and Iconium where Timothy was saved, and then carrying on through this part of Asia Minor and up into Macedonia, where they come to Philippi. And they upset people by commanding a spirit to go out of a woman in the name of Jesus Christ, and that upsets some people because they're making a profit from her and her divination. And it says in verse 22 that the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they were put into prison for causing this uproar. As they were beaten, they were thrown in prison, and when this jailer received this instruction that he had to keep them safely, he took it to an extra step and decided to put them in the inner prison and to, just in case there was any hope of escape, put their feet in the stocks and clamped them tight. So, you know, double or triple imprisonment, no hope of escape, and they'd already been beaten. You wonder how they were feeling, you know, being beaten up, and they're sitting there with their feet manacled, and they can't move about. And let's see what they do. In verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, I think, you know, here's a couple of guys who are fairly young in their walk, in a way. You know, not. We know that Paul was sort of apart for 10 or more years on his own, and but, you know, this is early on. He's been on one journey. He's on his second journey. But he's got this faith to just praise God and sing. I mean, you know, that could have antagonized people and it could have rushed in and, you know, beaten them up some more. But he thought, no, we're going to pray, we're going to sing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. So they actually kind of advertised their situation. Maybe the other prisoners were not in the inner prison. Maybe they were sort of in the outer low security part. And these guys, it just seemed like ridiculous. You're in there, you're manacled, you're in the inner prison, and you're singing and praising God. But that's what God wants us to do, doesn't he? In the worst situations, to have that faith, that little bit of faith, and it brings forth a big result here. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And, you know, who could have imagined that would happen just from singing a few choruses? But that's the way Lord works. From a small bit of faith, like a mustard seed, big things happen. And there's actually an earthquake in this situation, so much so that it obviously twisted and cracked the building so that the doors just fell open and everyone's bands were loosed. It's just amazing. And then we know the story goes on, and that the keeper of the prison comes and asks, what can he do to be saved, and so on, and is it speaks with him. So by faith, the miracle follows, and it's something that we must always sort of take the faith option. We always have two choices, don't we? We can take the natural option or the faith option, and sometimes it's hard to take the faith option, even amongst fellow saints sometimes, you know. I've seen that situation occur where people sort of say, well, why don't we look to the Lord for this? And people go, well, that's... Sometimes that's a bit of a surprise because the situation is so awful, and you just tend to think naturally. But that bit of faith, and that one person can convince others to follow suit, and then comes the miracle. Okay, let's just go up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And Paul here, writing to the Galatians, first starts off with the idea of doctrine and said, you know, what are you doing? You've gone away from the new gospel of faith, and you've gone back under the law, you know, why are you doing that? And here he just urges them and says, it's a fruit. This spirit that's in you, like a grain of mustard seed that grows into this tree, brings forth fruit as it grows up into this tree which is greater than all the like herbs. And all of these things, these nine things here, are wonderful things, good things, and in the middle of it, we have faith. So as we sow to the Spirit, we get more faith, and we're able to move more mountains. So let's just remember that Jesus made this point that faith was like the smallest of all things, but it does the biggest, gets the biggest results in the end. So it's, again, it's just the Lord doing things that are back to front from the world, and taking the smallest to create the biggest. Praise the Lord. Leave it there.